Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life with Paul
and Jeannie
and all of you, because we do this together. This is our 10-minute devotional, and indeed, I believe that we all should be devotionally living believers. Those are the ones that connect with the Lord each and every day, because our days are different. Our days are more blessed and purposeful when we start out by connecting with the Lord. So welcome. Have a seat at the table here with us. Mm-hmm. Jeannie, where are we today?
Well, we yesterday were reviewing about Nicodemus and how he secretly came in at night. I think it was during the Passover, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But he acknowledged Jesus as a teacher and acknowledged that he had done all these miracles. And so he was wanting to know more.
Yeah, he seems like a real seeker.
Yes.
Something's going on here. What is it?
Right. But he was very wealthy and he was very powerful. He was a Pharisee, a part of the Sanhedrin court, which is the ruling court back in those days. So he had a very prominent position. And they were growing jealous and restless and suspicious of Jesus. So you could totally understand he snuck in there at night to find him, to talk to him in a private way.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Right.
Which
reminds me of Jesus himself said in Mark 8:38, and I read a couple of different ones, but I like the New Contemporary Version on this verse. He said, Jesus said, "Don't be ashamed of me and my message." He could be saying this to Nicodemus, but anyway, he says, Jesus says, "Don't be ashamed of me and my message among these unfaithful and sinful people. If you are, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So when the Lord returns to gather his own, you're ashamed of him. You won't be going with him.
That should make us all sit up straight.
Yeah. And not to have a wrong fear, because we all can at times hesitate and be ashamed and not step up and speak and, you know, get cowardice.
Right.
But we're talking about going through your whole life and ashamed of Christ and not acknowledging who he is in your life.
Yeah, you're like a... There should be no such thing as a secret Christian.
Right, right. Yeah. So when we look at Nicodemus' life, I think it's fun to look at the other scriptures afterwards to tell us the progression that Nicodemus went through.
Mm-hmm.
He started out in the dark, seeking Christ privately, knowing he had so much to risk and lose. And then later on in the book of John, because we were in the John 3 before, but if you go on later in John 7, 50 through 51, Nicodemus is speaking to a group of Pharisees who are very upset with Jesus, and they're trying to plot some kind of unlawful seizing of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recorded in the scriptures that he speaks up and he says, you know, this isn't lawful. Is it right to do this? So I'm sure he got everybody glaring at him like, what's up with you? You know, so that was his first public siding with Christ by saying, this is not right. Plus, he was a just man, and he knew that this was sneaky and it wasn't right. And then later on in John 19, after Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus is mentioned again. And apparently, he and Joseph of Arimathea, who was also part of the Sanhedrin court, who also came out in public, and both these men had money, they were there at the crucifixion, and they went and asked for permission to take his body and bury him. And we know that Joseph used his own tomb. But it said these two prominent men, they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes that was worth about 75 pounds. And they themselves put these on Jesus' body.
Yeah, how tender.
How tender. And for these two prominent men. So we can see the transition in that 3 years of ministry from Passover to when Nicodemus is doing this at the cross, and how Nicodemus' relationship and his belief in Christ, he put behind him the fear, and he stepped out into the open and made himself recognized as a believer.
That's
so what does that speak to us?
It does speak to us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because at first we're, well,
We're not sure, maybe.
Yeah. Could be, possibly, you know, who is Jesus?
Right.
And Jesus is tough to handle in the sense that, you know, he's just so remarkable. There's just nobody like him. It's like, what do you do with Jesus? What do you do with him? Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, I think you're drawn. There's a curiosity there. And then that further leads to, at some point, you know, maybe you'll hear something and you go, hey, you know, wait a minute. You know, have you read any gospel account? You know, have you looked for yourself? Have you talked to believers, real believers? And have you gone to church? Or do you have daily devotions to him, you know? So then it's like another step. And then finally, I think you end up at the cross. And I ended up at the cross where I found forgiveness of sins. It's not like God, you know, is, you know, says, well, I like you and I don't like you. And, you know, you're cute and you're not and whatever it is. That's not it at all. It's a price that has been paid. And you are accepting that Christ as the payment for your sins. And so when you come to the cross, then it is very tender. It is very honest. I need a Savior.
And not being ashamed that I need a Savior. You know, I was just thinking, I could just picture in the scene Nicodemus hearing Jesus say those words, "It is finished."
Oh. Mm-hmm.
"And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How powerful that he, if he wasn't a believer then, before then, he, you know, he witnessed all that. Yeah. Which reminds me, back when we were talking yesterday about the conversation about being born again. So he told Nicodemus that, oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Happens to me all the time. I'm willing to share my coffee with you this morning.
I don't like coffee. Okay, so we were talking about, Jesus had told him about Moses, remember? When he told him about you must be born again. And then Jesus says in John 10, "You are Israel's teacher. You do not understand these things. Mm. For truly, I say, we speak of what we know and we testify." He's talking about him and his disciples. Yeah. "And we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. But I've spoken of earthly things and you do not believe. How can you believe if I have heavenly things?" And then he says, "No one's gone to heaven except for the Son of Man." And then this is what I wanted to get to, verse 14, John 3. He says to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness," and Nicodemus was very familiar with those scriptures,
"yes,
so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Mm-hmm. And do you not think that as Nicodemus stand at the foot of the cross and saw the crucifixion, that he didn't hear those words of Jesus?
Beautiful.
Just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. And we know the story because we've gone through with Moses that those that had been bitten by the snake, and we said the snake was sin, dying. It's going to cause death. they looked at that as he lifted that up.
On the breast pole.
They would be healed.
Yeah.
Healed, delivered of the death of bitten by the snake of sin.
Yeah.
So I just think that's cool.
Oh, that's,
I mean, the Lord just gave that to me.
Yeah.
But
thank you for reminding me of that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful picture.
You know, sometimes with our background of studying whatever, the Lord connects the dots and we just appreciate it more than somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've read that so many times where Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and I knew that it was talking about the crucifixion that was going to be coming eventually.
Yeah.
But Nicodemus, oh my goodness,
yeah,
he had a real understanding, and the light bulb went on as we were talking about yesterday.
Oh my goodness, we are out of time.
Again?
That just went so fast.
That's because I flubbed up.
10-minute slice of heaven. You did beautiful. Father, thank you for loving us and allowing us this time to set our hearts right before you and to hear about the wonder of the cross and how we all need to go to the cross. That's where we find forgiveness and love. Bless my brothers and sisters. I ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone says,
Amen.
God bless you. See